Yasmin Kobanoglu. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, it's Voices from the Edge with guest host Lisa Loving. At 9, Press Watch, Teresa Mitchell's weekly look at the news you're not supposed to know. At 9:30, Fight the Empire host Per Fagerang looks at how imperialism permeates our lives. At 10, it's the Heather McCoy Show. And at 11, on Between the Covers, host David Naiman talks to Max Porter about their latest book, Lanny. Don't forget, you can hear all of these programs after they air on KBOO.fm or on iTunes and Google Play. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by members' support. If you'd like to become a member, go to KBOO.fm or use our mobile app and click on Donate.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Reproductive health rights are under attack across America. The Trump administration's newest assault takes the shape of a gag order that would limit healthcare professionals from referring their patients to abortion providers. KBOO's Mackenzie Beard spoke with Planned Parenthood Advocates of Oregon political director Ann Doe about what this means for Oregonians.
I'm the political director for Planned Parenthood Advocates of Oregon. I helped work in the state legislature and also with elected officials to advance our mission and make sure that we are putting healthcare policies into place that increase access to healthcare and education to all individuals.
Last week, the Ninth Court of Appeals refused to block the Trump-Pence administration from enforcing the Title X abortion gag rule, correct?
That is correct, yes.
So what is Title X and what else does it do to regulate besides abortion rights?
So Title X is the nation's program for affordable birth control and reproductive health care. It serves, in our state, nearly 50,000 Oregonians each year. The gag rule would make it illegal for healthcare providers and Title X programs to refer patients for abortion, and it blocks access through care through the program by imposing prohibitive, unnecessary physical separation requirements. So Title X, historically, has really helped millions of low-income folks and folks who can have otherwise difficulties accessing care be able to access both contraception, family planning, and then also just reproductive health care services. So this rule really has a disproportionate impact on folks who already have significant barriers to accessing quality care. So in addition to being unethical and gagging providers from what they're able to say and provide to their patients, it is also gagging providers in the care of some of the most sort of vulnerable populations that this program is meant to serve.
So how was Title X established then?
So I think it was originally put through the Nixon administration, and it was really meant to provide increased access to family planning services to low-income individuals, but not just family planning services like contraception, but also STI screenings, well woman visits. And so it was really meant to be able to help fill a gap in healthcare service for individuals that were low income that could, like, you know, had difficulties otherwise accessing healthcare.
So you mentioned how the gag order would limit physicians being able to refer their patients for abortions. Can you explain how that would work in theory? Like, let's say somebody was going in seeking healthcare from their doctor after this gag rule has gone into effect.
If a provider, which I think that it's been really clear through the lawsuit that Planned Parenthood filed in conjunction with the American Medical Association, that providers are not going to follow this gag rule because it's unethical and it effectively goes against sort of their medical ethic. What it essentially would do is that if a patient came in and was seeking counseling on their options upon learning that they were pregnant, that the provider would be unable to provide them with the option of abortion or refer them to a clinic that offers abortions as part of the different discussion of options available to them. Providers would be unable to provide comprehensive counseling about all of the medical options available to a pregnant person because they would be unable to do that. that and also continue to draw down on Title X funds. But it's been made really clear that providers, medical providers across the board, are opposed to the gag rule and are committed to not enforcing the gag rule, not complying with Title X, and not drawing down those Title X dollars because it is antithetical to the idea of being able to provide quality health care to individuals. And the first and foremost responsibility for these medical providers is to be able to provide quality health care. So many providers are going to be rejecting this gag rule and rejecting funds in order to continue to be able to provide quality, comprehensive health care that people need and deserve.
So then, what kind of risks are healthcare providers going up against if they choose to not comply with the gag order?
Well, they will have that they won't be able to take Title X funds. So if they want to be able to take Title X funds, they would have to be in compliance with this new rule that the Health and Human Services and the Trump administration have put forward. And so effectively what that means is that this rule is taking away funds and money from services that are meant to take care of low-income populations and some of our most vulnerable populations. You're really putting providers in a tough spot between choosing to reject funds so that they can provide the care that they're ethically and morally obligated to, and or provide substandard care to individuals who, again, face significant barriers in access to quality health care in order to take those funds. And I think that what we've really seen are across the state, including in our state, is a commitment from states to be able to ensure that care is uninterrupted and that the care that our patients are receiving is comprehensive, is medically accurate, and is non-judgmental in quality. And we are seeing how different states are stepping up to ensure that those populations are able to access healthcare, comprehensive quality healthcare, all of what that outlines, all of the options available to them, regardless of whether or not this rule is in effect. So you're really seeing how our elected officials and our state is stepping up to make sure that there's not that gap in coverage, regardless of how the Trump administration is trying to push its agenda against our bodily autonomy, against reproductive rights through this damaging and destructive and unethical rule.
So you've mentioned that the gag rule has very little support, especially from healthcare professionals. So who supports it?
Well, the Trump administration. I mean, they are the Trump administration and their appointee to Health and Human Services are the folks who push this forward, but they push this forward in a way that is not grounded in any, it's a solution looking for a problem. It is just basically an attempt at undermining access to abortion care and to really putting an agenda, an anti-abortion agenda, and inserting it into the administration of health care. It's wholly inappropriate, which is why so many providers have rejected it and do not support it. And beyond the Trump administration and Health and Human Services as their proxy, I can't speak to who else supports it. I just know that there are a myriad of folks who have come out against it because it is unethical and harmful.
Has it gone into effect?
It has. So as of Monday, Health and Human Services issued a statement saying that they would be enforcing the gag rule as of July 15th.
So then, with that being enforced now, how will the gag order affect Oregonians?
It will not. We at Planned Parenthood, as well as other providers, will continue to see patients and provide the same quality, comprehensive health care that we always have. Again, Oregon is part of the, as well as Planned Parenthood, Columbia Willamette, and Planned Parenthood of Southern Oregon, or it's part of a lawsuit that is suing the Trump administration on the gag rule. And in that sort of lawsuit, we've made clear that we will not have our providers be gagged in providing the best care that they can, and that we are committed to providing that care regardless of how long this stay of the injunction occurs. And so we're in that commitment. We are going to continue to provide care to Oregonians in the same way that they have been receiving it and that they deserve to receive.
So then, with that mission, how are we going to fund those things if the Title X funds will be taken away?
We are working, and you know, the state has a real investment in being able to provide those services to low-income patients, and they are working to ensure that those services are uninterrupted.
That's really important. Let's talk a little bit about Planned Parenthood as a whole. We know Planned Parenthood their national executive director. So does that signal a change in the organization's direction?
Well, we have always been and we always will be committed to not only providing high quality health care, including abortion care, but also to advancing health care access and protecting reproductive freedom. That has always been our mission and that will continue to be our mission.
What does Planned Parenthood do that most people don't know?
Well, we provide the whole suite of healthcare, reproductive health care. We also do a lot of health education. We have sex educators that work throughout the nation to be able to provide sex education to youth and help them to be able to live healthy, safe lives and have healthy relationships. And that's also a really big part of our mission and a lot of the work that we do as well. So in addition to healthcare and education, we also do a ton of advocacy. So we really work to ensure that there are policies being enacted on both a state and a national level that protects healthcare, that expands access to healthcare, that breaks down discrimination within healthcare and acts to try to destigmatize how healthcare is administered and really looks to fight to not only preserve our reproductive freedom, but to be able to expand it. In 2017, here in Oregon, we helped to pass the Reproductive Health Equity Act, which was a really landmark piece of legislation that expanded access to reproductive health services, regardless of income, insurance, citizenship status, or gender identity. And that is like a really big part of our mission and the work that we do, both in the state and across the nation.
Then with this gag order, you say it's not going to affect Oregonians, which is fantastic, but who will this take advantage of and affect the most across the country? What is the demographic that is going to be affected?
Primarily low-income communities and communities of color, folks that have been through structural and systemic racism, like disproportionately impacted by gaps in healthcare coverage. We're talking about the most vulnerable of folks, folks who are relying on Title X funding or folks who often aren't able to get care through other means. And so this is the cruelty of this rule is exactly because it is located and impacts, disproportionately impacts the most vulnerable among us.
What's the most important thing for our listeners to know about the abortion gag rule?
That it is unethical, that Planned Parenthood will continue to fight it in the courts, that we will be relentless in our pursuit of making sure that this gag rule is swiftly ended in its enforcement, that we will continue to provide care and fight to ensure that quality care is provided across the nation. We also want folks to really see this as a rallying cry. This is part of like a general attack on reproductive rights and on reproductive health care for all individuals that we've seen really throughout the course of this administration. This is not separate from the anti-abortion bans, the abortion bans that have swept the country. This is part and parcel of just an overall agenda that is looking to chip away at our reproductive health care access and our reproductive freedom. So listeners should know that they need to really be engaged, that they need to show up in 2020 and make a real meaningful investment and change in this administration, because we've seen how damaging this administration has been in attacking reproductive rights and our bodily autonomy. In addition to that, there was a, House Appropriations bill that passed that had some really strong language in it about protecting Title X. And so what folks can do right now is be in contact with their senators and their Congress people and encouraging them to really step up and continue to support and vocalize their support for Title X and protecting Title X and not enforcing this gag rule as that piece of funding, as that budget bill makes its way through Congress.
So then if you had one final message for our listeners, what would it be?
That we are resolved, and we invite everyone to join us in our resolution to ensure that everyone has access to health care, including abortion, because abortion is health care. And we want folks to come join us in this fight. I know it's going to be a long battle, and we're here for it, and we want folks to join us. And so I would encourage folks to go to our website, www.ppaoregon.org, and sign up to volunteer and get involved. Get plugged in so that when 2020 comes, we can all work together to ensure that we elect a president who actually values healthcare, human lives, and all of our individual abilities to determine our own paths and to get access to quality healthcare without judgment or without the insertion of politics into the healthcare clinic, into the room where people should be able to have all the information available to them in a non-judgmental way. So I would really encourage folks who are feeling angry about the ways in which, the myriad of ways in which this administration is trying to regulate healthcare, to get involved and stay involved to ensure that we really make significant change in the coming election.
For KBOO News, I'm Mackenzie Beard.
Hundreds of people met on Monday for a community forum organized by the City of Portland to oppose the expansion of the Zenith Energy Oil Terminal in Oregon. KBOO's Barbara Bernstein recorded these highlights.
I want to thank you because you have been engaged in this issue for quite some time. And I love that you are pushing us to think bolder and braver than we believe we can. I know that the City of Portland has been working hard to try to figure out how we can legally make sure that the limits that we place around this industry are legally defendable and that we as a community will get what we want, which is to ensure that we are in a transition phase and that we are clear that what we're about is green energy and not dirty energy. We've been involved in this issue since we first took office. My staff met with protesters on the train tracks. I was very clear about directing my bureaus, the Bureau of Emergency Management and the Fire Bureau, to look really in depth at options that were ahead of us. We've met with coalition members to discuss a path forward. We toured Zenith to see the facility and to ask really hard questions. And as you may know, I took the no fossil fuel money pledge, $0 from the fossil fuel industry. The reality is that we are facing some limitations, but we're working to be visionary and proactive and making sure that we have a meaningful proposal that addresses community concerns. And before I let go of the mic, I want to acknowledge Michael Llewellyn, who today is his first day at the University of Portland in his new position as Vice President of Equity and something. Thank you, and I am so thrilled that you all are here. Let's get this show on the road.
We will start with our invited testimony, and we will start Columbia Riverkeeper, Kate Murphy.
Thank you for having us here tonight. My name is Kate Murphy, and I'm a community organizer with Columbia Riverkeeper. As of today, 145 days have passed since the mayor and city council members expressed outrage and opposition to Zenith's plan to make Portland a hub for dangerous heavy tar sands oil. Since that time, thousands of Portlanders have urged the city to take action. The city must consider the entire scope of this threat when deciding how to approach its opportunities for evaluating the Zenith terminal. Zenith is not alone in this trend. Global Partners is currently seeking approvals from Oregon DEQ to expand its oil shipments through a former ethanol plant near Clatskanie, Oregon. These trains may also carry tar sands crude, and they pose a dramatic risk to communities upstream and downstream from Portland. In response to the many known risks and considering existing resolutions, we ask the city to take the following actions. The City of Portland should stop approving any permits related to Zenith expansions. Whether for electrical systems, rail unloading platforms, or new piping, the city needs to hold the line against Zenith gathering new approvals to expand its operation. Remember, it was a single pipe link across an environmental overlay zone that allowed the City of Portland to review and ultimately reject the Pembina LPG terminal years ago. These small issues may offer the critically important leverage that the city needs to rein in Zenith oil train terminal plans. We would support the city in adopting an additional ordinance to address offloading and transloading facilities, ban the storage of unrefined fossil fuel, and possibly revise or add policies to the comprehensive plan. We asked the city to engage with DEQ in Title V air quality permit renewal processes for Zenith and Global Partners in Clatskanie. The city should use its own authority to oppose the extension of these permits, which directly conflict with Portland's comprehensive plan goals and the health and safety of the community. Finally, on behalf of Columbia Riverkeeper, the Stop Zenith Collaborative, and many others, I want to present over 1,000 petition signatures and statements, a small snapshot of the many thousands of voices who will stand with the City of Portland in stopping this rush to tar sands before it starts.
Thank you. Next, Audubon Society, Bob Salinger.
Good evening. Thank you for holding this hearing tonight. We appreciate it. Audubon has been working for decades to pretend restore this river. This community is tired of industries that come in here and pollute and put our communities at risk. It's time for that to stop. The Zenith facility will quadruple the number of oil trains coming into that facility. One quarter of all the residents of Portland will be in the blast zone of these oil trains as they pass through. And this oil is coming from the tar sands, one of the most polluted places on the planet. Put simply, this facility will put our community at unacceptable risk. It'll put our environment at unacceptable risk. To Zenith, we understand you have a representative in the room here tonight. You owe it to this community to stand up and face the community. You owe it to us to tell us how you are going to keep our community and our environment safe. And I suspect you're not willing to do it because you know that you can't. For City Council, again, we appreciate this hearing and we appreciate the list of ideas that you have put out to deal with the fossil fuel hub that exists on the north reach of the Willamette. We support all of these ideas. We think you should move forward and we do need a comprehensive strategy for doing so. We would add to that list that you need to look at the next economic opportunity analysis update and really come up with a true vision for how we're going to make the north reach of the Willamette healthy, safe, and vibrant, because it's anything but today. You also need to incorporate in habitat restoration and floodplain protection. We not only need to worry about earthquakes, we need to worry about flooding as climate change proceeds. But we need to keep the focus tonight on Zenith. We need to keep it on the immediate threat because this facility is going to last for decades. And the last thing we need to do is add more fossil fuel infrastructure. So we urge you to immediately proceed forward with implementing the ban that was passed a couple of years ago so we never find ourselves in this situation again. Do it now. Do it at the next hearing, move it forward. And we urge you to fight every single permit, every single application, work with your sister agencies, work with the feds, work with the state, and let Zenith know that they're not welcome and they can't proceed forward.
I love the enthusiasm. We will also get more people in if we either show with hands or keep moving. And I apologize for only getting the first name, Portland Youth Climate Council, Solomon.
My name is Solomon Duke, and I'm here for representing the Portland Youth Climate Council. Are 108 schools in danger enough? What about 100 childcare facilities? Or the $25,792,647,580 of property at risk? What will it take to put a stop to this expansion? By 2030, it will be too late. Before I turn 30, the world our children live in will be drastically different than it is today. Before my baby cousin turns 13, we will either be bounds ahead in our path to a sustainable future, or we will be living in a world of regret. If Zenith creates this petroleum expansion, it will increase their train capacity by nearly four times and allow for 12 trains a week carrying 1 million gallons of crude oil. If an accident occurs, there could be millions of dollars of infrastructure destroyed, and it would disproportionately affect people of color. There are 108 schools and 100 childcare facilities within the half-mile evacuation zone, where toxic, flammable, and explosive chemicals are being transported. Our future is drowning in a barrel of fossil fuels, and our chance to save it is fleeting. If we don't act, the coral reefs will die, the ice caps will melt, droughts and storms will wipe across the planet, and you will have to tell your children why you took their world away. Each era in geologic history has been ended by a mass extinction. The Paleozoic, the Mesozoic, the Cenozoic. I fear that we are entering into a new era once again. Our politicians and businesses need to understand that we are dealing with the possible mass extinction of most of the life on our planet. But that doesn't need to happen. We have the necessary tools to stop the destruction of our ecosystem. We need our leaders and to end the expansion of dirty fossil fuels and create a world that embodies Portland's values of climate justice, equity, and sustainability. The people of Portland have said no to fossil fuels. Now it is time for the city to put action behind those words and finally stop Zenith. Our world is truly breathtaking, and we should never give it up.
Thank you. From the Center for Sustainable Economy, Nick Caleb.
Thank you, everybody, for the opportunity to speak tonight. Thanks, everybody who joined. Since 2015, the city of Portland has explicitly adopted an agenda to restrict the growth of the fossil fuel economy while promoting the growth of renewable energy and energy efficiency measures. Numerous unanimously approved resolutions and ordinances, plus a ballot initiative approved overwhelmingly by Portland voters, demonstrate the immense and growing popularity of this trajectory. Zenith's oil export operations and expansion run counter to this trajectory, putting the global climate and Portland's residents at great risk. City Council has repeatedly acknowledged the dangers of operations like Zenith. In 2016, Council formally declared opposition to the tar sands and in support of the actions of the Standing Rock Sioux to blockade the Keystone XL pipeline. We must renew this commitment to all communities who are on the front lines of dangerous fossil fuel projects and climate change by stopping Zenith and any more projects like it. The courageous actions of frontline communities in North America against the tar sands have been extremely successful at stopping oil and gas pipelines, which is a big reason that investors are bottom-lining dangerous projects like Zenith's oil-by-rail operations. Today, the Center for Sustainable Economy released a report called Crude Bailout that details the ways in which billionaires and private equity funds are trying to recoup their investments in tar sands by taking advantage of communities like Portland as they desperately try to demonstrate market demand for their dirty product. If they get their way, they will reap the financial returns on dirty investments that push our civilization into climate chaos while we take on all of the risks. While the city continues to make progress on an increasingly ambitious climate agenda, which you'll hear a little bit more on tonight, we hope it will soon include a community-driven plan for a managed decline of existing fossil fuel infrastructure. We need to oppose Zenith at every available opportunity. Each permit the city grants to Zenith is material support for the fossil fuel industry and intolerable at this point in history. We know that we will have to take legal and political risks to build the world we want, because it involves disentangling ourselves from an entrenched system that was designed by and for the fossil fuel industry. Our community is ready, and we know what needs to be done. We have and continue to develop solutions in Portland. We need the bold leadership to make it happen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners Udaly and Hardesty for hosting tonight's forum. My name is Mia Reback, and I work with the Sustainable Energy and Economy Network. We are part of a coalition of organizations that have been working to transform Portland to stop fossil fuels and move instead onto cleaner forms of renewable energy. I want to thank the Portland City Council for your past action to pass resolutions to oppose crude oil trains in the city of Portland, a resolution opposing new fossil fuel infrastructure, the ordinance to oppose new storage tanks that BPS is planning to reinstate, thank you for working on that, and a resolution to transition to renewable energy. These are all amazing things to be proud of, and so I, like many others, was surprised and angry in March of 2018 when we learned that a new company had bought an old asphalt terminal and immediately upon purchasing the facility began importing Canadian tar sands, loading it onto marine tanker, and sending it to global market. Even prior to expanding its facility, Zenith flipped an old facility that was not being used to invest in the most climately destructive form of fossil fuel. We need to be moving away from this, and we need to be acting quickly. I want to reiterate what my colleagues have already said, that the City Council needs to be denying and stopping every new permit, appeal, or exemption requested by Zenith, and especially want to call on you to stop a new pipeline proposed to be built under Front Avenue. We cannot trust this corporation and what they are telling us. Any new infrastructure built for their facility supports tar sands, supports fossil fuels, and climate chaos. We know we have safer forms of renewable energy, and we need to be investing here locally on the good jobs and safer jobs. Zenith might say it's modernizing its facility, but that does nothing to prevent the risks from oil trains, derailments, spills in the Willamette River, and ultimately climate change. So we're calling on you, the City Council, as well as all of the city staff here today, to do everything in your power to stop this facility and to go beyond that, to step into further places of leadership to stop this facility and keep fossil fuels out of Portland for good. Thank you.
That'll do it for the KBOO Evening News. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Grendel's Coffee House, located at East Burnside Street and 8th Avenue in Portland, offering organic coffee, daily soup specials, sandwiches, and more for breakfast and lunch. Open daily until 6 p.m. More information on the Grendel's Facebook page and by phone at 503-595-9550. Making Contact is up next. KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of The Rad Trads on Wednesday, July 17th, 9 p.m. at the Doug Fir Lounge in Portland. The Brooklyn-based five-piece Rad Trads play nostalgic rock with soul and a horn section. They're touring around their On Tap record. Again, that's The Rad Trads on Wednesday, July 17th, 9 p.m. at the Doug Fir Lounge, 830 East Burnside Street in Portland. This is a 21 and over event. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.